Well, today is Memorial Day weekend, and for some of us who are old enough to remember, it used to be just Memorial Day on May 30th, and of course it originally began as Decoration Day. The history of it would be going to the cemeteries, especially like Arlington Cemetery, and decorate the graves of those who died during war. And so I have some fond memories of what we used to do in those days, and I'm sure some of you do too, and some of you have been to decorate graves, but it is Memorial Day weekend. I just hope that we will all remember our loved ones, and especially those who served in wartime and the sacrifices they have made, as opposed to just this being a three-day weekend that we're off work and we can get out and do some recreation. Now, not any of that is bad, but let's remember what the weekend is supposed to be about. And our scripture today, I think, fits in very well because we're going to talk about the Christian family. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And I hope that you have a Bible close, or you will at least sit down and read this passage at a later time. But it is so rich and so helpful, and I wanted us to look at that today in terms of the Christian family. Now, if you notice, verses 15 through 21, actually 20, are a passage that really kind of gives you a good paragraph of what the Christian life is all about and what Paul is appealing to the people to do. And remember, this is a letter. We kind of lose track of the fact that we used to write letters, and some of you can remember receiving letters from family and friends, and in them it contains some very important information for you. Well, that's kind of the way this one here is today, because Paul says, just as a sample here, be very careful in verse 15 then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. What a wonderful verse. The whole paragraph just kind of oozes with that kind of thing. And I remember the letters that I have gotten from family, my dad in particular, usually came with some instruction or some advice. So as we consider the Christian family today, I'm going to make a disclaimer. Now, I don't know as I've ever started a sermon with a disclaimer, but I'm going to do that today. Because when we start talking about the family, that can conjure up very wonderful memories, and yet it can stir up some old bitterness, strife, disappointment, a lot of things. So my intention here today with what I have to say is not to stir up any bad memories for you, but rather for us to look at Scripture, look at the Bible, and see just exactly what instruction we have. And this section here is simply one of the best. So I talked about the paragraph, verses 15 through 20 there, and I hope you'll read this section over and kind of ponder and meditate upon it. But then verse 21 is where we'll actually start. This verse says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I would say this is like a flashing sign as you drive down the road. If you've ever had that happen to you, it's usually a highway sign, and you have that flashing sign, and it's intended to get your attention. It's intended to get you prepared in your driving to do something without having an accident. And I believe that's what this verse is all about here this morning. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, it is somewhat up for grabs. Does this verse belong to the preceding paragraph, the wonderful one I talked to you about, or is this the beginning of this section of Scripture? I would kind of say that probably it fits right here It's what's coming up. It's kind of the starting place. And it tends to be one of the most controversial in our day because of the context of the world that we live in. Not because of what's in the Bible has to be controversial or is not appropriate. It's the context of our world that we live in. Because when people hear the word submit, they just automatically go off. But remember here, submit to one another. Did you catch that? Out of reverence for Christ. So that's where we're starting today. And Christians, in case you hadn't been told, are to be subject or subordinate to each other. You see, we are to be subject or submit to those that we respect. Now, if you can't or don't respect them, that's a whole different deal. But that's what's being said here. But we've lived in a day when nobody wants to submit to anything. I mean, there's quite a concern right now about the fact that American people are being told what they should do. They're not liking governors and presidents and others saying, here are some parameters with this disease, and you need to follow these instructions. There are people who don't like that. Now, I would hasten to say that's a whole other sermon for another day about our submission to the governing authorities. And I know you can get the ire of a lot of people up when you talk about that, but that's for another day. So Christians sometimes won't submit to civil authority. They won't submit to church leaders. They don't want to submit to anybody. And I just want you to know that this lead verse, if you can just get this verse, 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The rest of what I'm going to read to you and explain will be easy. If you don't get this, you'll probably dig your heels in at everything else that's in this particular scripture this morning. And let me say this, folks, listen to me very carefully before I start this, and that's husbands need to understand what this scripture is about, and I will say unequivocally, if you think this passage gives a husband the right to boss his wife around, you are dead wrong and have missed the point. So please stay with me because I'm going to try to show you why it's there and what it's really about. Likewise, because you'll be out of the will of God if that's what you think. Likewise, wives should understand that they are to respect their husbands. And so that's where we're headed with this today. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so, as I said, if you get verse 21, it will be easy for you. Several years ago, on August 17th, at the Clarence Church of Christ near Buffalo, New York, and Niagara Falls, New York, I got acquainted with this passage in a very deep way. The minister, Jim Walker, used this passage of scripture for our wedding, for Joyce and I as we were married. This was his lead text. This is what he read as he prepared to get us ready to make our vows and to be married. And since that time, I have used that passage of scripture in the weddings that I have done, and it has become very meaningful to me, and I hope it will to you. But again, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ is the simple statement there that we have to understand. And again, as we look at this today, when it begins by saying, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, and that, for some people, is just out of the question. Now, that statement does not mean that wives are that they are inferior to the husband. Not at all. Because in Christ, we're all on level playing field. Galatians 3, 26, 27, 28, 29 talks about the fact that we've all been baptized into Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, a bond nor free. male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So with that, that has been the important part of understanding this passage of Scripture. And as we pick it apart a little bit further, I want you to understand how important getting that verse 21 is. And as we unpack that, I think that you will see that it really is God's design for marriage is what we're talking about here today. So over the years, I have met with couples who came to me seeking advice on how they might correct some problem in their marriage. In all those years that I did that, only one couple came saying, look, we have trouble, but we want to stay together. The other times, they came and said, we want to break up our marriage, and basically, we want your blessing. So that's what I dealt with, and the couple that I'm speaking of, to the best of my knowledge, is still together after many years today. But I think it's because they wanted to be able to maintain that marriage. The other one was a couple who came to my office seeking help and got into a fight right there in my office. And I finally got them quieted down, and I said, well, at least now I can see visibly and hear audibly what the problem really is. So that's something from my experience. But again, I had a staff member on that second couple that got into a fight, and my staff member said to me, you know what the problem is, don't you? I said, well, I think there's several. He said, well, she doesn't respect her husband. And the light bulb kind of went on for me, because that was about the time that Emerson Egeritz wrote his book, Love and Respect, which is all based on this passage of Scripture. So let's look just for a couple of moments here at this passage this morning. And again, verse 22, after we see that we're all to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Paul's going to be using this as an illustration on the church and our relationship. He uses marriage as an illustration for that. So that's where we're headed. Verse 22, wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, that's a passage of Scripture that you can compare. Actually, you should look at Colossians chapter 3, another one of Paul's letters, speaks on marriage and family there. 1 Peter chapter 3, you get some more instruction. Well, that's a view, that's from Peter's writings, and of course, Paul's writings are one thing, and Peter's happens to be another. So that gives you some added information there, I think, as you think about this particular topic. And so in the country that we live in the past 50 years, we have, again, seen people that don't want to submit to anybody. So you come to marriage, and so you have that problem that people don't want to submit in the situation of a marriage. And so you don't get a good hearing when you start talking about this, but that's what Paul has written by the inspiration of God. And again, God is a God of order, and folks, God has said, here is my plan for marriage and the family. If you will follow it, then you will be successful. So in 22 through 24, it talks about the wife, that the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. The church is subject to Christ, and the wife is to respect her husband. And so those are the things that make for a marriage to have some tranquility here. And so the second piece to this, though, is the husband's responsibility to the wife. Now, again, I want you to notice here. Here's what he says in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Verse 27 says, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Did you hear that? He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body. Now get this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He says this is a profound mystery. Yes, it is. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. You see, he's trying to illustrate Christ and the church and church members by using an illustration from marriage. He says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives are to respect their husbands. And so the husband's responsibility is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, love his wife more than his own body, and love her more than his father or mother. Now, did you notice something here? And you can do the counting. There are three verses for wives, and there are nine verses, three times as many for the husband. So if you think that verse 21 is out of line, I want to assure the wives, God has given them a heavy weight that they are to carry out by loving their wives. And so when he says to submit, husbands are to love and wives are to respect. And this is all accomplished by what you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, when we see the characteristics of love. It's all wrapped up in love. Now, the problem we have today is Satan and modern culture, the media, Hollywood, they all distort love from what the Bible teaches. And so we live in a place that doesn't have a clear picture of love. And we go clear back to Genesis 2:24. That's what Paul is quoting here, where we read that for this reason, a man shall leave father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. And so we see that again that the husband is to love his wife, the wife is to respect her husband's. And so we're not to leave anybody out here, but we also have the children here in chapter 6, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So, kids, children, you're not left out. There is an order. The home is to be a place where God is honored, and the home is a place where God is to be encouraged to be a part of kids' lives. It should be The home should be a place of evangelism and a place of nurture. Kids should see mom and dad living for Jesus, so then they will take the name of Jesus and follow him and do the same thing. And of course, it even mentions slaves here because the New Testament world was full of slaves, and yet we can't identify that as American people, so that's something you'll just have to read and think about. So, I hope this passage of Scripture that I've shed a little bit of light on this for you this morning. And I want you to, again, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ is the flashing sign for all Christian people. We need each other. In fact, there's 59 one another statements in the Bible, and we need to understand that. And I hope that if you are having difficulty, even if you're not, this is pray, seek God's direction, be an example, live out Jesus' teaching in your home, and be faithful in your devotion to Christ and the church, and then you will have a home where God will be honored. And to change things, sometimes people say, what do I do? Well, maintain your own spiritual life, stay close to the church, lean on Christian friends, and pray. A lot of stuff here this morning, folks, and I've probably hurried a little bit, but let me close with this story that might be an encouragement to you, because sometimes we wonder, here's my circumstances, but here's what Doug's talking about, and I don't know as I can get those two together. I want you to know there is always hope. When you come to church on Sunday, I want you to leave with some hope. I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Sometimes we have to rebuke too, but we want to leave with some hope. I want you to meet Marie Balter. She spent 20 years in a mental institution because she was misdiagnosed and was given the wrong drugs, locked up, considered hopeless. Pretty bleak, isn't it? She was given up at birth by her alcoholic mother. She was adopted by a couple who abused her and locked her in the cellar at age 17, put her in an institution. When she found her real mother, her mother died in a fire. Her adoptive father rejected her. He came back and died in her arms. She made a decision to live, not as she had, but differently. She started doing little things like eating and walking. She met Joe Balter, a man who was very sensitive but depressed. She finished a master's degree at Harvard University and became a social worker. And she said her faith sustained her. And so I offer that as just some encouragement to you today, that you might in some way realize that here's some teaching from Scripture that we need to pay attention to. And let me just close with this passage of Scripture that you're familiar with. It's a good way to end the worship service. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How do we do that? He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And listen to the last piece of this. Consider him, consider Jesus, who has endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so today, as we come to a concluding part in our service, our Ephesians series is winding down. Jason will conclude it with one of the most powerful sections for every Christian person when he finishes up on the armor of God. And I just pray that today you can dedicate yourself, whatever your family situation might be. And I realize several different types of families exist here today, that Jesus does love you, and Jesus does want you to follow him. And God's word is filled with lots of instructions and encouragement as we live each day of our life. So Jason is going to come and offer a time of invitation. And though you may be just sitting at the kitchen table with the laptop computer on watching this, it can be decision time for you. And of course, if it's one for salvation, you can contact Jason and make some plans to talk about that. But if it's just a time to rethink and rededicate yourself to living this next week for Christ, we pray that you will do that. So as we have our concluding invitation type song, let this be a time of invitation for you to start next week with a fresh look at how life can be following Jesus.